Although Kalakanya means invalidity or old age, Yavanaraj wanted to serve Krishna by introducing Kalakanya everywhere. Does the same person by attaining old age will become fearful of death? Foolish people engage in material activities as if they will live forever and enjoy material advancement. But actually, there is no material advancement. Under illusion, people think that material opulence will save them. But although there has been much advancement in material science, the problem of humanity, of human society, birth, death, old age, and disease are still unsolved. Nonetheless, foolish scientists are thinking that they have advanced materially. When Kalakanya, the invalidity of old age, attacks them, they become fearful of death. If they are sane, those who are insane simply do not care for death, nor do they know what is going to happen after death. They are under their own impression that after death there is no life, and consequently they act very irresponsibly in this life and enjoy unrestricted sense gratification. For an intelligent person, the appearance of old age is an impetus to spiritual life. People naturally fear impending death. The king of the Yavanas try to utilize Kalakanya for this purpose. Narada Muni is giving an allegorical description by comparing the body to a city of nine gates. And all the personalities here in this story are also symbolic representations of various natural elements, like Kalakanya, the daughter of time, bringing upon us invalidity and old age. So here, in a poetic, allegorical way, Narada Muni is describing the forces of nature. Because he is explaining all this to Maharaj Prachinabarhi. And Maharaj Prachinabarhi cannot hear things in a direct way. So Narada understands that if you, as they say, throw a ton of bricks on people and explain things in a very direct way, it may be too much to accept. So therefore, Narada is using a tactful approach, understanding that a king is naturally a little proud, considering himself important. He is not speaking directly about the king, but he's speaking about Puranjan and Puranjani. And we see how they live in the city of nine gates, but how with time this city becomes attacked, and that then old age is also there. Here it is said, how old age is naturally awakening a fear of death. So it is all Krishna's arrangement. When we are young, we are having so much energy, so much strength, and therefore we tend to become proud. We can achieve things, but as we're getting older, we're losing that power, and we become weak. And gradually, we realize that we need help, we need support, we need shelter. So, therefore, with age, one is naturally more inclined towards shelter. And therefore we see that with age, naturally, intelligent people turn to the Supreme Lord. Whereas a fool is just ignoring everything and continues with sinful activities. And then gambling that there is no reaction. I can do anything I want. So this is very unfortunate. The human form of life is outstanding amongst all the 8,400,000 species. Because in the human form of life, we are responsible. The animals may engage in all kinds of activities, but there is no karmic reaction at all. Animals are not making any new karma in this life. Animals are only suffering or enjoying the karma from previous life. That is all. But human beings, they are made responsible for their actions. And every action has a reaction. So all this is made clear from scripture. And the scriptures are offering us a complete package, a complete sense of purpose in life. I was reading the autobiography of Charles Darwin because I thought it could be interesting to understand a little bit more who the person was behind this theory. And it was interesting. Of course, he describes how he goes on that ship, the HMS Beagle, and then they go to all these islands, and there they find all kinds of species and things, and he's studying the species. But he's also writing things on a personal note. And he is saying that as he has developed his theory, that actually everything came about from matter. As that, and everything comes to an evolution. He has more and more difficulty with the concept of a creation and the concept that there is a God and the concept that there is a deeper meaning behind things. And therefore he said, these days I cannot tolerate the arts anymore. He said, like, I cannot tolerate poetry or I cannot tolerate music because it is just adding this mystic dimension to things that is not really there. He said, even Shakespeare, for a British person, even Shakespeare, I can no longer hear. And then he writes, sometimes I think that maybe I'm missing something. So a moment of clarity, you know, a moment of insight. It was interesting to see how Darwin was thinking. And I'll tell you a story to illustrate this point a little more. That once I was on an island and we had rented a big boat and we were with a group of devotees doing a program going around these islands and then kirtan and preaching. So as I stepped off the boat, there was one man. He said, I also have a big boat. I said, oh. And it turned out he was from Holland. You know, so then I said, oh, I'm also from Holland, this and that. And then he said, oh, come and see my boat. So I went to see his boat, and it was a big boat, and a sailing boat that's designed to cross the Atlantic Ocean, like these big things. So he welcomed me on board and we sat down and he said, so, what would you like to drink? I said, water. So I was having water and he was having his wine. And he was saying, yes, when I went with this boat across the Atlantic Ocean, he said, you cannot imagine. When you see the sun rising from the water and all the beautiful red colors reflecting in the water and in the sky, he said, it's just awesome. It's just like, it's a deep emotional experience. He said, you like, you know, you can't imagine it unless you've been out there. He takes a sip of his wine and then he says, and what went wrong in your life that you had to create some God? Yeah. And I said, wait a minute, just a few minutes ago you were on the Atlantic Ocean and you were almost on your knees, almost praying for the beauty of the sunrise and the beauty of nature. You were deeply moved. And now you're asking me this question. Don't you see that you were almost religious? Mm-hmm. Almost? If it was only just H2O and some gases and so on, why would you be so emotional about it? So Darwin, the same point. He recognized it in himself. Why am I so emotional about the beauty in nature and a sense of aesthetics? Beautiful music can create awe in the heart. Why is it so? Why is it so? Because it is opening a dimension. It is opening the dimension of the sacred. The sacred is sometimes clearly felt. I was flying from South Africa to Europe, long flight, all night. In the morning, as the sun was rising, we were just over North Africa, and the sun was rising above the clouds, and suddenly an African man stood up and went in front of the cabin, in front of all the passengers, and then he made a gesture like a conductor who is about to start, an orchestra. Which means attention, right? Conductors do. And then he started to conduct. And suddenly, all these people in the plane, they started singing. And they started to sing African gospels. And they are good. I mean, they were good. It was very religious, and voices over voices and voices under voices and different rhythms and melodies, and it was just like only voices, but it was out of this world, and like everyone in the cabin was just shocked, and it just happening at sunrise, and people came from the business class, people came from the pilots. At one point there were three pilots watching. I was wondering who's flying the plane. Anyway, it was just, and after it was over, a thunderous ovation, thunderous in the sky. There was thunder in the sky that morning. Everyone felt it, Something sacred. Something sacred. It was a prayer. And within that prayer, in that beautiful musical prayer, the Supreme Lord revealed himself. And so we see how when we climb a large mountain, we feel humbled, and suddenly we see the majesty of the Lord, and suddenly it is not difficult to pray, or in the middle of the Atlantic. Suddenly it's not, God is not so far away. Because the Supreme Lord is revealing his majesty in this material world, because the material world is his arrangement. Therefore, anyone can perceive some divinity. Some may deny it, some may minimize it and rationalize it, like Darwin does, and some are trying to forget. But the truth is that the sacred presence of the Lord is there everywhere in his creation. It is not difficult. And therefore, it is natural. Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says, it's not an artificial imposition on the mind. Rather, it is an awakening. It is an awakening. Therefore, we don't have to squeeze ourselves into this process of bhakti. It is not about what we're giving up. It is not, I have to give up so many things. No. Devotion is a natural thing. It is natural to do things very nicely. It is naturally very satisfying. It is naturally something that lives in everyone and can be awoken when the mode of ignorance is overcome. It is due to the mode of ignorance that we've become lazy. And due to this laziness, Oh, too much work. Huh? Oh, cooking for Krishna. My God, you spend hours in the kitchen. Better we just open a tin or something, deep freeze and throw it in the microwave. That's much easier. It saves so much time. Huh? Yes, it saves time and everything saves time. Better get a machine. Get a machine. I don't clean my house anymore. I have a robot. My robot is vacuum cleaning. You don't have Ali, you need a robot. Yes. These robots, they just clean the house by themselves. You turn on and they do the whole house. Huh? And it's like nothing to do. And we get everything, robots here and robots there. And in the end, what will we do? Yeah? We'll just sit in a chair and we'll become fat. And then we have to get some machine that will tell us to exercise. And we have to, and in the end, you sit in a very comfortable designer chair, but it's very unhealthy. And what you have to do? For health, you'll have to sit on the floor. So why not just sit on the floor to begin with, on a simple mat? Why not just sit in a proper posture? Why not just accept nature's arrangement? Never will accept nature's arrangement. No way. We will rebel, because we do not want to submit to the Supreme Lord. No. It's my life, and I do what I want, and nobody can tell me anything. And everyone, you may say, oh no, I'm not like that. But every child goes through the no phase, right? Every parent knows it, that the child comes to the point where it realizes it can say no. Right? In the beginning, they just cry, but then they go to the face, no. It's just no. 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 Rebellion. This rebellion is deeply ingrained in us. It is part of our nature. It is why we are here in the material world. Rebellion. We want to be the enjoyer. Iswaraham aham bhogi. I am the Lord. I am the enjoyer. That tendency is very deep. And we carry that with us into spiritual life. And thus, we try to enjoy spiritual life. And we're looking for a position in spiritual life where we think it's enjoyable. And we try to avoid things that are not so enjoyable. It is very deep. It just goes on and on and on and on. So what to do? What to do? It is difficult. It is difficult to change our conditioned nature by some conscious effort. It is hard for one who is proud to be humble. It is not possible. Krishna knows. Krishna may give us good philosophy, good instruction. But still we're not humble. We know we should be humble. We understand it. Intellectually it makes sense, because we know we are not in control. I was in Africa and giving a talk, and I asked, and he's saying, we're not in control, and someone was disagreeing. So then I asked, so who is in control? One man raised his hand. He had a band-aid on his finger. Interesting, in control. But he carried the symbol of that things get out of control right on his finger, and he couldn't see it. But we could all see it. So we're an illusion, trying to tell ourselves we're in control. So an intelligent person can see, I'm not in control. Then what to do? When we are fortunate and we understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in control. Yes, then comes the point where we realize I should surrender. Bhavanam janmanam ante vasudeva. Bhavanam janmanam ante jnanamam prapajante. After many, many births, finally comes the knowledge that we know I should surrender to Krishna. But then, it's not so easy. So Krishna helps. This mechanism of old age, it forces us to bow down. The old lady, she was walking with her nose almost on the ground. The boys were joking, "Hey, Grandma, have you lost something? You fools, can't you see that I've lost the pearl of my youth?" So, old age, right? In old age, we will lose everything. So there's only two options. Either we take shelter of Krishna, or we become depressed. If we have no faith, if we have no faith in the Supreme Lord, then all we have left is greater and greater loss. When we were younger, there was gain and loss. But as we're getting older day by day, we're losing. We're losing it all. We're losing it fast. At 60, you can still fake it. At 70, everybody knows it, right? At 75 or 80, you need to be helped across the street. Yeah. The old lady, she was 87 and she told me, "I'm wearing nappies again." You know, she was open, but just saying like, "Look what a ridiculous situation I'm in." It's something one would be embarrassed to speak about. Most people would hide it when they would be wearing nappies. But there are many older people who are wearing nappies. Will you one day have to wear nappies? Have you ever thought about that? Have you meditated on it? Wearing nappies? Yeah? When you can't control it any longer, it just comes out publicly. You just start wetting your pants. Have you thought about that? But old age brings those things. Old age brings those things. Some people like to shock. There was one spiritual master who would tell his disciples, "Please brush my teeth," and then he would pull his teeth out and give that to the disciple to brush. But yes, it was a way to impress that old age is happening in this world. So, but old age, in many ways, is a blessing. For a Vaishnava, it's a great blessing. And why is it so? Because no more distraction. When we're young, it's such a fight. Oh, I want to enjoy. Oh, I have to be Krishna conscious. Oh, I should be Krishna conscious. I really want to be, but I want to enjoy. When you're older, yeah, I want to enjoy, but you know, let's be real. You know, can I? Can I really? Right? Can I really enjoy? Yeah, I can. You can try. You can try and squeeze a few more drops out of the old broken machine, but it's not very convincing. It's like you want to eat, but you can't. Not like before. Yeah. Just can't. You still do something, but you know, you have to pay for it. Whatever you do, you have to pay for it. Every time you try, you have to pay for it. And more. And one day, you know, it might kill you. Yeah. this way, one can see people that eat themselves to death, or people that like so addicted to sex, can't give it up. Like the cardinal in France, who died in the bed of a prostitute, the one who spoke with Prabhupada. Why can we not take the flesh of the cow to feed the hungry children? It is for the children. There is so much hunger in the world. So what can we do? Let the children starve and not eat the flesh of the cow? So, some logic. But he was found dead in the bed of a prostitute, the cardinal. That was an interesting detail. Krishna exposed him. With time, all the facades are broken down. With time, it all becomes real. With time, we can no longer fake it. With time, it will be clear who we really are. It is interesting that the German poet, writer, Goethe, he's like the German Shakespeare, famous German writer, and he wrote many wise things, many interesting wise things, but then you see his doctor testified that in the last 3 days before his life he was suddenly overwhelmed by extreme fear. So it is like that. At the end, whatever is not real will collapse. It will collapse. It all becomes real. It's like you can no longer play. You can no longer act. You can no longer act like a pure devotee. You have to be it. You have to have that faith in Krishna. Otherwise, it's over. You become exposed. There will be fear. So old age is a reminder to us. Krishna is our only shelter. And we better start practicing now. Prabhupada asked that question. Who is an old man? They're looking around the room. And you can do this exercise. You ask one of the kids in the Sunday feast, and you go, who's an old man? And you go, pointing at me, right? Something, and he goes, me? I don't look that old, do I? I say, but I do. But Prabhupada pointed at a 5-year-old child and said, he's an old man. Because he can die any moment. Everybody can die any moment. We just were at a funeral yesterday. Everybody can die any moment. There's no guarantee. That's what I learned when my father took me to the cemetery for the first time to visit the grave of his father. It was spooky going on the cemetery. I was 4. But I could read a little. And I was reading the tombstones. And then I wasn't so shocked by the grave of my grandfather because I didn't really have much of a relationship with him. But when I saw a tombstone with someone who had died, who was born after me, then I was shocked. Then I realized, oh my God, I can die also. even now I can die. It's not only old people that die. Anybody can die. Therefore, we better be ready, you know, and let go. Let go of this life. Not only when you've lived life to the fullest, you know, I'm 80 years old, I've had it, you know. I saw this man in the t-shirt that said, heard it all, seen it all, done it all, but can't remember it all. It's a great t-shirt. You hear a good t-shirt. So not only in our ripe old age that we say, okay, I've lived to the fullest, now I can let go. No, forget it. That's an illusion. You've never come to that point that I've lived to the fullest, now I can let go. That's a dream. That day will not come. Yeah? That day will not come. Let me enjoy a little bit more so that all my desires will be exhausted. Not like that. They'll stay till the moment of death. Yeah? As long as you have faith that it will work. First thing is a declaration of no faith in material enjoyment. No faith. See, in short, faith is related to our nature. And the nature is, in the Vedanta Sutra, describes anandamaya vyasa, pleasure seeking. So we are always looking for pleasure. So wherever we think we find pleasure, that's where our faith is. If you think it's money, then your faith is in money. If you think, you know, it's sex, then, you know, it's you're ready for action. If you think it's Krishna, then you turn to Krishna. You think it's your body. So where is our faith? Where do we think our happiness will be? So we have to cut with intelligence and understand, no. The material energy gives you an endless stream of opportunities. Endless. And now what? It just keeps on coming. So say, well, so far it wasn't perfect, but you never know. It could still come. You know, why would I be so negative? Just be positive. And there are many good things. And see the good things and appreciate. You know, see the good in life. You know, the glass is half full. You know, it's not half empty. It's half full. Be positive. Okay, fine. But why is it only half full? I want it full to the brim. I want it completely full. I don't want it half full. Half full, half empty. It's only half. Half doesn't satisfy me. I want whole. I want everything. I want complete happiness, not half happiness. No? How happy are you? 50%. Is that impressive? No? Not so much. I'm 100%. That's what I call happy. 100% is happy. No? It's like being with my dentist. My dentist, he has a video in the ceiling. And then, since he's a devotee, he shows you videos of Prabhupada, and at the same time he's drilling your teeth, and it's a very strange experience because a part of you is in the spiritual world and the other part is in the hellish planets. Sort of, you don't quite know where you are, you know, in your mind, right? It's you still realize, well, I'm in the hellish planets, you know? I think usually the hellish planets win, you know, when you're at the dentist. Just think. So, crazy situations. So let us just forget it. Let's not have faith in the material energy. Okay, you know, maybe some attachment is there, maybe some little faith is left. Yeah? But at least with the intelligence, let us understand. There's no point in having faith in the material energy. And tell ourselves this. And come on, you know, why are you holding on to this? It's not going to come to do it. And in that way, one can even give up. I'll tell one more story since I'm telling stories this morning. This story is like, I was in Germany in a Sunday feast and they had a Russian clown. And this Russian clown, he was spinning balls on his fingers. He was sitting on a little stool on his toes. And in the end, he put one on a stick on his nose. And all these balls are spinning. So I was impressed if you try and do that, you know. I mean, the Russian clown, they're good. Yeah. So it was impressive. What it had to do with Krishna consciousness, I had no idea. Yeah. Anyway, I was speaking after the clown, you know. So I said, okay, let's try and make something Krishna conscious out of this, you know. So Krishna gave me some inspiration. I said, and there's the stream of opportunities, and they're coming. And when you're young, you take 3, 4, 5, and you spin them around, you know. Yeah. Cool, very, yeah. You're young, yeah. You play with all these opportunities like that, you know. Ha, you're on top of the world. But time is moving along. And no longer so playful. Now you get more serious. There's a good one coming. Bang, got it. Okay. There's a good one coming. Bang. Bad, 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 bad. Good, got it. And time moves along and you get a little older. And there's a good one coming. But anyway, can't always keep up, you know, with the pace of things. And there, anyway, sour grapes. Wasn't that good anyway. Yeah. Old man, sour grapes. And at the end, there's two old people sitting on the bench. And one says to the other, that was a good one. Mm-hmm. And it just goes by. That's how it will be reduced. So anyway, that was one Sunday feast lecture. So we can appreciate that for a devotee, everything becomes auspicious in old age. Why is it so? Because we're no longer so distracted by material enjoyment. Can't do it anyway. It's easier to give it up, you know. I mean, you know, I was on the bus on an airport and standing on the bus, and suddenly this nice looking young girl, you know, she stands up and offers me the seat, you know. And then I realized, oh my God, I'm old. Now I'm really old. I'm old. The young girl's not looking at me anymore like, well, still good looking. No, they stand up for me now to offer me seats. So it becomes easier to say, oh, well, forget it, you know. Don't be an illusion, old man. You know, it's too late. May as well let it go. And then, just worship Krishna. Just take shelter of Krishna. Worship Krishna. No distraction. Now, what else is there to do? And in this way, old age becomes very favorable. In the tarot cards, in the tarot deck, there's a card which shows the old man and the young man. And the young man is looking forward, and the old man is looking backward. So that's interesting. I thought that is a good point. And an old man is looking backward, but not in Krishna consciousness. See, in the material world, when you're old, what have you got to look forward to? Nothing. It's all gone. All you have is your memories. Yeah? That's why you're looking backward. But in Krishna consciousness, even when you're old, you're not looking backward. You're looking forward. You're looking forward to the spiritual world, and therefore still alive and not mentally dying. When you're living with your memories, you become old, and you're actually, it's over. All, it's behind you. Yeah? And you just look, and your glory moments are just remembering, you know, the stories, and that's why I tell the same stories 1,000 times. But for a devotee, no, we can look forward to the spiritual world. Of course, I also tell the same stories, but I tell these stories again because they make good points. And these good points are important. to remember, so that we can look forward, forward to the spiritual world. Therefore, for a Vaishnava, old age is a blessing. It is actually a time where it's easier to focus on Krishna. So we're not afraid of aging. We just go forward. We tolerate some suffering from the body. But meanwhile, we get focused more and more on Krishna. Any questions?
Yeah, usually in scripture when it comes to ego or some difficulty like that, then one has to be defeated. Like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he had to be defeated in order to accept bhakti.
We are always defeated. Parava parava rastavat abhudja tu nari gasituatanta. Material life is a constant defeat. And therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur says at one point one becomes embarrassed and one realizes I'm always defeated, all the time, again and again. No one is a success materially. No one. You can see, you know, look at like people who were very rich, very famous. You see like George Harrison, you know, like he described hiding from the public, sunglasses. There's the story how they were in Paris in a hotel room and the crowd just pushed in the door. And there was a hole for the laundry in the wall. And they dove into that hole in the Changsung to escape. So, where is the success situation in the material world? We're always defeated.
We will have, like, for example, in my office, like the very senior staff, you know, sometimes they come around and they're talking about how they're living it all and how they're enjoying it, so happy, you know. They're talking all the good things.
I'm the son of such a man. And he was suffering from depression. That's why I didn't become like that. That's why I'm here. I realized it was false. My grandfathers were like that. My uncles were like that. My whole family was like that. All the senior executives. We were not a happy family. It was not that there was one that was the odd one out somehow or other. No. A whole lot of them. None of them were really happy. But keeping up the facade. That's also fooling ourselves. True, so in that case, when we fool ourselves, we have to be smashed. But it is like this, see? That's Krishna consciousness. Hear or get smashed. Yeah, that's basically how it is, you know, like, either we hear and learn from transcendental knowledge, or get smashed. Get smashed by life. And it will happen. It's like, I got smashed enough. And Vidyananda Maharaj once said that this devotee went before the deities and prayed and said, "Oh Lord, please purify me from all anarthas." 20 years later he comes back and says, "Lord, please purify me from all anarthas, softly." just everyone gets smashed, especially in this age of Kali. There's a lot of smashing going on. You live so happy in a world where there's terrorism everywhere. People are in fear now.
Sometimes you get someone from the Vedic desert, distance in Krishna consciousness, and they say, "Okay, I'm very friendly to you, Krishna consciousness. Now let the remaining years be for me." And they think, "Well, then, about 20 years of Krishna consciousness, I'm going to definitely take birth from heavenly planets." maybe at the time of death or
after
Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah, so just for the camera, you know, you're saying there are sometimes devotees 20 years, they've been practicing and then they start to take up time for themselves again. I think I gave so much to Krishna and I also need something for myself. Anyway, you know, like, I mean, I'll surely get the benefit of all that service anyway, at least heavenly. But yeah, so that is maintaining material attachments, you know, all this time, under the surface. It was actually we're doing it all for material reasons. And we have to let go of that also. And these devotees, they forget that, like, you know, they give 20 years to Krishna, they also became 20 years older, and they don't, and, you know, life is short. And then you see, you know, I saw someone in a high position in our movement as a big spiritual leader, and then in late 50s, giving it all up, and then didn't work, and then after a few years, you know, being the shadow of himself for the rest of his life, being a shadow of himself, and having to face that pain. That's just for a moment of fleeting enjoyment. So such devotees have lost their intelligence. Even if you have some material desires, maybe they're approaching their intelligence. Yeah. Anyway, what do you do? They'll come back to Krishna. No, they can't stay there. Time will come. Okay? It happens. Okay. Thanks, Adi. I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you.